Anybody know where it is written in the Bible that we greet one another with a holy kiss? Anybody know the verse? Huh? I've been saying it for years. Huh? Is it 1 Corinthians 16 or 2 Corinthians 13? Let me check. Maybe he said it in both places. Okay, 1 Peter is one. 1 Corinthians 16, 20. All the brethren greet you, greet one another with a holy kiss. I think he says it in 2 Corinthians 13, also verse 12. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I believe it is five times in our New Testament. So I just want to clarify that when I said you may greet your neighbor and greet them with a holy kiss, just to stay scriptural. But hands off. Hands off. Okay, so that's the other side. All right, so turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We're going to have a good time here tonight. And this is an introductory thought on edification. We are talking tonight about how some people live in the past. In a good way, they say that the former days, those days, wow, what did we call those days? What? Good old days, right? Well, here is a Bible verse for that. Verse 10, chapter 7. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? You see it? I think I have to slow down here. I'm already at a slow speed. But it's going to get slower. As people, we sometimes have very good connection with God in our experience. When that happens, the present fills up. God is present. And in a way, the past kind of shrinks and the future kind of shrinks because the present is so full. You see that? God is present. He is my life, my rock, my fortress. He is my comforter, my teacher. He is my God. God is present. When we are in the presence of God, it's kind of full in the present. But when God seems far away, the past can kind of increase, and the future also. I fear the future. I think about the future. I don't have any time right now. I'm running. I don't have any time right now. I can't concentrate. I'm worried. I'm remembering the past, or worried and troubled. In time. So sometimes when we are in our natural, then we say the former days. And Job did this. We'll see it in a minute. But look at chapter 7, verse 10 again. What is the cause that the former days were better than these? Meaning, the good old day, why was it better then? Then now, for you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Don't say that the former days were better because your many reasons, one of them is your memory may not be accurate. You fantasize about the past and you can project on it something there that wasn't really there. Another reason is because you aren't called to think in terms of our past or our future in that sense where we would worry or be troubled. but you and I are called to be refreshed in the presence of God, to be edified in the now, the presence of God. When Moses met God, he said, "What is your name?" He said, "I am that I am." And we always refer to that verse as God defining himself, not only, well, in different ways, but in one sense, in the sense of time. When he says, "I am," he means I am in the present. Well, the present just passed. Where is God? Now, here. Where do I get my encouragement? Now. Not the past. The past can be and often is encouraging. I don't mean that. But I have to live in something more than my past or my future. I must find edification, encouragement, truth, fellowship, worship the presence of God. That's why it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, that don't forsake the assembly, as the manner of some is. The word manner in the Greek is ethos, and it means a custom, that some Christians have a custom of not assembling. And if you were to talk to those Christians, they could say the past, or they could say, "I'm good, I am a believer." But the question comes to mind, are you edified? Are you encouraged? Has God met you? Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you personally challenged in your faith? Turn to one place with me, please, to Romans 4. Looks like the message might be this one. I was going to speak for a minute, but I don't think I can stop. I received a email from Tony Cooper in Switzerland, and he and Isabella are coming to convention by faith. And he said, we booked our tickets and we're getting them this week by faith. And we're just going to... Then the other day I had Paul and Lotte text me, said they're coming, and I'm getting good reports from people. And this is like a decision of faith, because we don't know in our present environment how all things are going, but it is getting better. A year ago, we were meeting outside, remember? And I got to say, our life of faith this year, if we wanted to go to the former days, we could say a year ago, we were living in faith, and we benefited in our faith. I believe God met us in our faith. Isn't that amazing? And Abraham was given a promise of having a child, but it says here in Romans 4, and this is the abbreviated comment on it, it says, and remember, he's 99 years old. He was 100 when Isaac was born. And his physical body, I mean, a 100-year-old man with a 90-year-old woman, and what how they looked at each other that night when they slept together, and what were they thinking? What are these two old people thinking? You know, the former days are better than these. Conventions in Baltimore were amazing. They were great. We were soul winners. We were this or that and so on. But actually, wait a minute. We are not talking wisely about these things. Because what we are looking for is the God that is now. The God that is now. Isn't that beautiful? That's where you and I must live in edification. That keeps us off of drugs. That keeps us kind of positive at home and refreshed and have a kind of little bounce in our step or attitude in our heart. Where I want to go to the house of God because I'm going to meet my sisters and brothers who have also a connection with the God that is now. So look at the verse, Romans 4, verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope. You know what that means? If he was looking to the mirror at his physical body, he would not have hope. But against the unbelief, he is believing that the God is the God of now. And he is able to fulfill his promise. And he's able to give us a son. It's an incredible story, isn't it? Look at verse 18. That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. It means he could easily say, I am impotent, or any number of those physiological things that you can think of that come to your mind. He could easily say, not going to happen, not going to happen. But he had faith. This is how you are edified, by your walk of faith. And when that child was born, they named him Laughter, because it's totally a huge, incredible, kind of like a joke almost. It's like more, it's a sacred joke. It's a sacred manifestation of a living God who against hope, when people say can't happen. And also people say, the former days, oh, those were the good days. And we say back to each of us as believers, wait, where is God now? Where is God in COVID? Where is God in a jail? Where is God in cancer? Where is God in a broken heart? Where is God in loneliness? Where is God in fear? These kind of thoughts. So let's finish this. Turn to Job 29 and our homiletics class looked at this the other day, and I want to make a point because you are also Bible readers and meditators. I want you to look at Job 29. And Job is very, very sad and very, very much hurting. And he needs edification, but it's not coming. He is with his three friends, actually four, but one of them is silent through the whole thing until 32. But here he says, I remember, oh, that I were as in months past in the days when God preserved me. In verse 2. Have you ever thought like that? Oh, I wish it was back when I first got saved. The joy, the holiness, the excitement. But it's been 20 years. I remember that. That was a period of time. It lasted 2 years. I remember that. It was a very real thing, I believe. But now I'm living my life. Look at verse 29, verse 3. When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. Verse 4, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter and the rock poured out rivers of oil. What is he saying? Wow. It was all, I was firing on all cylinders. Everything was rolling. I was cranking. It was moving. It was amazing. Now, if you read the whole chapter, I counted one day just writing in my Bible 52 times when he says, 52 times he said, when I, or I, or this happened to me. And every one of them is amazing. But then when we interview Job, say, how are you doing now? What's happening now? He would say, I'm lost. I'm hurt. The arrows of the Almighty have poisoned my spirit. I'm in trouble. What do you need now, Job? I need God. The history of my life is not enough. That cannot feed me. It's like old manna. I cannot eat the old manna. I need fresh manna. And that is why this mystery of the body of Christ is so precious. Forsake not the assembly, as the ethos of some is, the manner or custom of some Christians in the first century was not to meet. But that's the same in the 21st century. Some are not meeting. But that can't happen because I want to meet God with God's people and live in faith. And even when it doesn't look good, many times when we act in faith, we find great edification. The Spirit visits us. He's always with us, but He anoints us with fresh oil. We comfort the feeble-minded. We'll always have feeble-minded people amongst us. They are the people that easily get worried. They easily get upset. They easily get troubled by things. They don't have a great capacity, and they aren't necessarily very stable or strong people. But that's okay because God is their God. And we are to comfort feeble-minded, warn the unruly, and we are to admonish one another and encourage each other. So this afternoon I called Pastor Gary Grunwald up and I said, Pastor Gary, could you edify different people in the church tonight and just say names and give a shout out and love up people and edify them? And we talked about different ones like Olga Cipriano, who used to sit down here, and I don't know if she's listening, and Diane Garbrecht, they are pillars, precious people. John Nielsen, who keeps the whole place clean all the time and invests in internet. He's going to say these things, I think. And I was thinking about this past year, and it's a time of celebration. And what we have learned is that we can always come to God by faith and He will meet us. And that kind of spiritual edification is the greatest thing that's going on in the world. You stay young. God may heal your body. God will renew your mind. God will build you up in the faith. God may give you a great girlfriend or a great boyfriend. He might. Maybe. Slim possibility. Second thought, I retract that. Now, and what does he do? Isn't it good? Romans 7, Paul said, when he, his theology was right and everything was right, he had the right theology. Of course, he's the Apostle Paul. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin and death? I thank God. There you go. I thank God. He is the one. He is the one that I need, the God that is. God, comfort us. May our seniors who graduate this coming Saturday, when they walk across the the floor here. And may we pray a blessing on them. And may they find God in a personal way. And our MBCNS graduates who do the same thing the next Saturday, may they find God. And may each one of us be deeply edified. You know, it's one thing to know your name, and that's beautiful. And to say, God is with you, we love you, God bless you, quote a Bible verse, and that's amazing. But it's another thing. It's not another thing, but it's another element of a depth, of a depth of an encouragement that goes so deep when the Word of God goes to you in a personal way. And Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? And he says, I do. He said, feed my sheep. Remember. It's another thing when I get a friend. This Sunday wasn't like last Sunday and a year ago. And if I put my church life on pause for a whole year, what is happening all year? I can remember the past, but I'm not wise. Guys, it's not about my past. It's about God being present. What's the word for me today? And the Lord said, keep assembling. Keep assembling. What's the word for us? Assemble. Draw near. Live in faith. And I will visit you. I will help you. I will feed you. I will comfort you. I will lead you. I will be with you. I will open a door and nobody can close it. I'll close a door and nobody can open it. I am your God and there is nobody. You don't have any other God. You have me. I am God. And so we don't have to worry about or care about our past or worry about our future. We are living in the God that is. Remember, Peter said, who is it? He said to John on the boat, who is it? And John is like saying, okay. 3 years ago, a guy on the beach said, cast your net on the right side. He filled the net with fish. Who was that? That was Jesus. 3 years later, he's the same guy is there. Throw your net. Who is it? It's the Lord. But I am so dumb. I am so capable of walking away. I am so dumb. I can be so blinded. It can be that I walk away from what God is doing in this world through you and me in our walk of faith. God could have given Abraham a baby when he was 75, 80, 85, 90, 95. He didn't. He waited until Abraham's body was good and dead. And he did it. And he did it. God did it. God did it. God started, had a little country preacher up in Maine and put his heart on fire and got into the Word of God and he said, we're going into the world with the gospel. And God did it. God did it. He raised up a team of people and God did it. And God did it. And we were nothing. We are nothing. We just sit and listen and say amen and meet God in our walk of faith and walk by faith and God does it. He comforts you, teaches you, helps you, and leads you and me. That's it. Isn't that good? Amen.